It's a day after a circus. I dare call it that, a circus in Parliament. It's a day after we witnessed a fuss, a mess, a headache, a frustration. You name it. You can come up with the different names. And I thought, you sit there, you think to yourself, is this the best that we have? Are these the best? Is this the creme de la creme of political leaders that we have? Rolf, good morning to you. Thank you so very much for joining us once again. I mean, you saw the scenes yesterday in Parliament. What was your take?
Good morning, Absen. Good morning to your listeners. I've been listening to you this morning since you started, and I can't help it. I have to go back to the difficult conversation you had with your daughter there about members of Parliament. I hope you have been speaking the truth to her. You are not trying to sugarcoat it. But I think, in all its seriousness, my friend, imagine if you are an MP when they go back home and they say to their little bundles of joy, hello, hi, honey, hey, papa, daddy, how was the day at work? What do they say to their children? I ask myself as well. Do they say, did I have a great day at work? It was fabulous. Mommy, daddy did a great job. We served the country. And I think this is a moral dilemma. The current parliament really is losing it. Our leaders are not demonstrating humility. The most thing that is lacking for me in this leadership, it is lack of humility. They tend to believe that they have been selected to lead, they are entitled to it by some high power. One way or another, I don't think they understand that they are there because of a vote, and they should serve the vote, and it's not about them. It's not about their egos. But they get away with it. We allow them to get away with it. We are amused. We laughed about it earlier on, and we laughed about defying authority. We failed in the past during the time of President Jacob Zuma to separate an incumbent from a house of authority, because we were so disgusted with this corruption, we allowed certain behavior to become normal, and now we cannot get away from it.
Rolf, I just want to paint a picture here for the listeners. You listening at home, we are asking the questions. When you look at our political leaders, specifically the three top leaders, or the leaders of the two of our three most biggest political parties in South Africa, are these the kind of leaders that we want to see? Is this the best that we have? What are we doing wrong, or what are we doing right? You're listening to The Voice, by the way, of political analyst Rolf Matekha, who joins you all the way from Johannesburg today. Now, I mean, you at home, politics has evolved in South Africa over the last 26 years of democracy. You've seen major political parties, the ANC, the DN, the EFF, in the last elections, putting their hands up and saying, we are the biggest political parties in the country. The ANC remains the leading party in the country, but they're still in the they're still the same one that ushered South Africa's new dawn, if you want to call it that. The ANC has not been without its own internal struggles, and those have spilled over to how they were behaving as the ruling party. You know, the Jacob Zuma era, you're seeing now the Cyril Ramaphosa era. And then there's the Democratic Alliance, the official opposition in the country. There's been the fallout with Musi Maimane and Helen Zille, and we find ourselves now with John Steenhuisen at the helm. And then you've got the EFF, which has quickly rose to the top since it first came into the fold in 2013. The leader of that political party is Julius Malema. Rolf, let's get down to the crux of it. Are these the kind of leaders that we want to see? Is this the best that we have?
If you look at the breadth of South Africa's society, I don't think these are the best that we actually have. But I also think we obsess a lot about them. We give them a lot. We talk a lot about them. Of course, it's out of frustration, there is no doubt. But somehow they misinterpret that to mean they are indispensable to us. I don't think it is the best that we have. This country has had great selfless leaders like O.R. Tambo, has had the likes of Chris Hani, has had Nelson Mandela, this country has had great, great leaders, Joe Slovo and so forth. So if you look at what we are having today, if you look at what we are worshipping today, you just realize that we are being dragged down by some level of mediocrity that I don't actually even understand. I mean, these people are even very rude, to be honest with you. Our leaders, currently, they look in your eyes and they tell you they don't care about your vote. They don't even have a, when they look at you, they don't even think that, but Apps could have, by that margin, voted for me. Can I be respectful to that person when I respond to their question? That's not what you see. You've got our leaders who think today, and sadly, it's not about progressive leaders. Where you say is the liberation leaders. Look, is the DA as well. I mean, you've got leaders like Zille who think it's amusing to try to tweet about colonialism in that manner. And you ask yourself, well, what are you gaining? Are you such an egotistical person? But that's what you get. It's politics for its own sake. And that's it. That is what we saw in Parliament. We saw leaders forgetting why they are there. Leaders forgetting that it's not about their own egos, you know, trivializing gender-based violence. But I ask myself, why are we surprised when our leaders trivialize gender-based violence? They've been trivializing poverty. They weren't in using poverty for political mileage, and they continue using it. So why are we also pretending as if we are surprised? They've been trivializing our own pain in society, going there in Parliament in a manner that just shows how rude they can be.
You're listening at home. You can also be part of this conversation, by the way. We're talking about our political leaders in South Africa, specifically the three big parties, three of the biggest parties we have in the country. Are these the kind of leaders that we want? I mean, if you're sitting there, you look, and it doesn't, you know, you don't have to blanket all of them. Maybe you want to say Julius is the leader we want. Would love to hear your thoughts. Is this the best that we have? What are we doing wrong or what are we doing right? 0214460567, that's the number that you can dial. Rob, I mean, leading to that, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing right? Do we then blame those before them who gave birth to them? Is there even room to play the blaming game right now?
I think we have ourselves to blame. We don't draw the line. I want to give you an example of how South Africa sometimes get entertained by their own pain. You see all the allegations around Duduzani Zuma, but you look at the tweets. Some people will say they'll have him as a president. I mean, it's a joke, but you just realize that how insensitive we have become to our own misery, that we no longer feel the pain. So we don't draw the line as a society. We are the ones that get amused when these things are happening in Parliament. We take sides. We fail to assess our leaders on the basis of principle. The first thing that one thinks about is, okay, if I side with this one, what will this group in society? It's not about the principle. I mean, I can agree with you, Epps, on a few things, but when you are wrong, my dear friend, I have to call you out. And that, for me, is the type of friend that I think you should keep than the one who doesn't call you out.
What does then the future hold for our young leaders? Because the idea would be that then our future leaders are learning from the current leaders. So what does our future look like?
You know, very interestingly, the millennials, as we call them, have got a different fabric that just excites me. I mean, these are the people who, strangely, are much more socially conscious, and we are seeing a lot of them going to saying that they will go to business school, but they will do social work, work that is on the side of benefiting communities. They're becoming more and more demanding, and I think they're the ones that are pushing this idea of saying that, look, even the business and capitalism need to understand the social factor, this thing of stakeholder capitalism. Brands are being aware of the demands of these millennials. They talk a lot and they communicate, and I think they're going to judge these leaders very badly. They're the ones that I think are going to give us a fabric of the leadership that we really want. Us, I think we already saw conflicted up, so we are such interested groups that we just cannot see beyond ourselves. I think that the future lies with these millennials. I do think that they demand something else, and I think that we should not dismiss them. And I think that these leaders are going to find it very difficult to cope with satisfying what these millennials actually want in leadership, the consciousness that these millennials want. I think that might be the cornerstone of reshaping leadership going forward.
I just want to read this one from this SMS from Yako in Observatory. It says, good morning. My take on politicians in parliament, they need to check their egos and get back to basics again. Is it as simple as that?
I mean, it's just as simple as that. I mean, Jaco nailed it there. I mean, they need to check their egos. You've got people with unbridled egos there. I mean, there's no embarrassment. I mean, you've got Miss South Africa there. I mean, poor thing is there, guest of parliament. We've got our young activist leaders there. That the people who are representing us, our young ambassadors, and we just can't pretend to get along for a day, anything goes. I mean, it's embarrassing, and it's about the egos. It's about people saying that, you know what, people will realize that. People will I'm going to push the envelope. People will fall along with me. And you know what? We get amused. Egos of our leaders are just so scary, bigger than Mount Everest.
You know, Ralph, before I let you go, I don't know, maybe you can help me. Remember, Moss, you were mentioning that earlier when I was trying to teach my daughter, because it was called a bed of oysters, a colony of ants, a gaggle of geese. And you said it's a parliament of?
I leave that to you. I need an answer from you. I'm going to be listening tomorrow. We need an answer from you. I think listeners also want that. Come out, please.
I've also been trying to Google it. I can't get it. So I don't know what the answer is to that one. Ralph, thank you so very much for joining us once again on the show. Have yourself a fantastic day. But very quickly, just under 20 seconds, your final word?
My final word is that South Africans can do better, and that parliament does not reflect our value system.
Rob Mateko, thank you so very much. He's a political analyst all the way out in Johannesburg.